Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Hey, don't forget, starting the new year, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Michael Savage moving to the drive time. Do not miss a minute of it. So happy to be back with you again. You can go to michaelsavage.com for some of the stories we're talking about tonight. You can join in the program at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. We got to talk to you about what's going on with this so-called budget deal, the House budget deal. Oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be awesome, and it's a step forward in the right direction. And, hey, what do you expect? I mean, because the Republicans aren't in control. Right. We'll get into that in just a second. Then we're going to get into another unbelievable illegal immigration story. A Department of... Wait. What's the technical term? A DPS person. It's in Arizona. A Department of Public Safety officer. Turns out to be an illegal alien. Well, look, so you can't catch all of them. You don't always know what's going to happen. All right, we're going to give you that story. Then we've got Harry Reid in big trouble, ethical problems, maybe even some legal problems. We'll tell you all about it. And the jihadist, boy, it just got worse for you if you want to be a martyr for jihad. You now have to do something that's maybe debatably more painful than blowing yourself up. And before the hour's out, you won't believe which Santa Claus is now saying we might have to cancel Christmas. It's all coming up this hour of the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor, 855-400-SAVAGE. All right, so let's start with the budget deal. Look, let's stop all the numbers. You know, I can throw a couple numbers at you if you want. Here's the bottom line of what you need to understand. The Republicans are giving up increased spending now for decreased spending later. It's like Wimpy on Popeye.
I gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Remember that guy? That's what it is now. And I want to explain it to you as if you were working on the budget at home with your wife. Okay? And you sit down with your wife and you guys are saying, all right, look, we got to get spending under control. And she says, I know. I was looking at the checkbook. Do you realize we're spending way more than we're taking in? I mean, holy cow, our yearly income is $100,000, and we're actually about $17 million in debt. We're in trouble. Yeah, okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start decreasing our spending. Well, what do you mean, well? You just admitted that we're spending way too much money. Well, yeah, but there's still a lot of stuff I want. And, I mean, look, okay, how about this, honey? How about this? Listen, I am ready to work with you. Well, we need a balanced approach to this. I mean, you're coming in here and saying, I just need to quit shopping. I don't think that's very nice, okay? What about your shopping? Well, I'll cut my shopping, too. Okay, well, wait a second. That's not exactly what I wanted. All right, so you're coming in here saying, all we have to do is cut shopping. And I like to shop, and I need to shop, and I need my stuff. And so here's what I'm willing to do. I want to work with you on this. All right, honey? Yes, I'm listening. All right, here's what we're going to do. You allow me to run up my credit card a little bit more, spending a little bit more that we don't have for just the next 2 years. Just come on, just a little bit. But wait a second, you just said that we're spending more than we can right now. I know. Would you just wait till we're done? For the next 2 years, I'm going to spend even more and run up the credit card even more, but then we're going to get serious. Okay, so 2 years from now, then we're really going to get serious, and we're going to start cutting spending so that, you know, over the next 10 years, so 12 years from now, I think is how this works. It gets a little confusing. But 12 years from now, we'll actually end up saving more money than I'm spending now. So we'll actually decrease our spending? Well, maybe. Because here's the other thing. You know, you're my husband right now, but you can't hold my future husband to any kind of a deal. So if I have a different husband than you 2 years from now, then I may just spend even more. Is that okay? Oh, and by the way, the three biggest things that we spend our money on right now, I'm not ever cutting any of that. We're not touching that, okay? That's off the table. I mean, that's just not even something we can talk about. That's done, man. Those things are set in stone. I'm entitled to that spending. That's three biggest things that I'm spending my money on that will eventually bankrupt us. We're not touching that. We're not changing that. We're not doing anything. You call it reform. I call it just brutal, brutal cuts, honey. Don't you love me anymore? So, all right, so that's my deal for you. You let me spend more money for 2 years, and then over the next 10 years, we'll start cutting spending. Maybe, if you're still my husband, I don't have somebody new that tells me I can spend whatever I want to. And the three things, the biggest things that take most of our money that is going to make us bankrupt eventually, we can't touch that. Sound good? That's the deal, folks. That's the deal. Forget all the numbers. Forget all the craziness about what we're going to have. We're going to spend money. We're going to make the federal employees pay a little bit more into their pensions, and we're going to make you pay a little bit more for Homeland Security when you fly, and we're going to take a little bit of the cost of living away from the military retirees. Oh, yeah, that's always nice. These are people that are willing to risk their lives for you. Many of them have gone to multiple terms of combat, at tours of combat, and we're going to cut their military pension cost of living increase. Great. Great plan. But hey, look, that's the deal. Forget all the other details about it. That's what you need to know about this deal. Sound good to you? Because it doesn't sound so great to me. See, here's the thing. Look, I get it. I get what's going on here. Paul Ryan wants to be president. And he thinks this is going to show people when he runs for president that he's somebody who can govern. He can work with both sides. He can compromise. He knows that compromise isn't a dirty word. He's a man who can get things done. He's the man that's telling you, listen, when we have divided government, and the Democrats control the White House and the Senate, and all we control is the House, there's only so much we can get. And this is a baby step in the right direction. Okay, I get it. He wants to show you that he's the guy who can govern. I get it. And America's tired of these budget showdowns, and the Republicans always get blamed. And listen, right now we're winning. Right now we're winning because the American people are looking at Obamacare and looking at it as a huge failure for Obama and the Democrats. And their poll numbers are going down, and Republicans' poll numbers are going up. And hey, we got a House election coming up very soon, and there's a lot of Senate members up there too. About 15 seats that are up for grabs that the Republicans might be able to take and maybe even take control of the Senate. And we don't want to blow it. We don't want to blow it. And I get all that. But here's the point. You won with the sequester. You won a tiny little victory with the sequester. President Obama and the Democrats are the ones who suggested the sequester. It was bipartisan approval that got the sequester in because Obama thought they'll never do the sequester. Well, guess what? They did it. And you finally had some real spending restraint, not really reduction in spending, but some spending restraint. The reductions were only in discretionary spending in some of these areas. And you won! And now you're giving it away. Why? Well, for the military. No, wait a second. Without fighting two wars that we're supposedly not supposed to be fighting, we should be able to get along with the amount we're spending on the military, even with the sequester. And if not, then just fix that. But don't fix the rest of it. Don't mess up the rest of it. Increase spending $63 billion over the next 2 years. And with over the sequester, and supposedly you'll save $23 billion over the next 10 years? $2.3 billion a year? That's a rounding error. That's what the big deal is supposed to be? That's what you're supposed to be excited about? So a lot of the conservatives, the fiscal conservatives out there, the real fiscal conservatives, are saying, you know what? We don't like this deal. I mean, everybody from Heritage Action to Freedom Works to Americans for Prosperity to Tea Party groups, Amy Creamer, chairwoman of the Tea Party Express, Al Cardenas from the Americans Conservative Union, all of them are out there saying, this deal, you gave away the sequester, why would you do this? So, Speaker Boehner was asked about that earlier today. Speaker Boehner, cut six, please, here. Here's what he had to say about the people who are already saying bad things about this deal.
Most major conservative groups have put out statements blasting this deal.
You mean the groups that came out and opposed it before they ever saw it? They're using our members and they're using the American people for their own goals. This is ridiculous. Listen, if you're for more deficit reduction, you're for this agreement.
Right. See? If you're really... And if you're not, you're just a bad person, I guess. No. People are realizing this isn't so great. And not just crazy right-wingers, Speaker Boehner. How about Senator Coburn, Republican Oklahoma? Let's hear him cut four.
I'm real disappointed in the deal. What is it that we don't understand when the GAO says we've got $200 billion in wasteful duplicative spending every year, and what we do is we raise fees, raise money, steal money, raise the cost of pensions for federal workers, do all these other things in the out years that will never be guaranteed to be there, and say we've cut a deal. I'm sure it's the best Paul could get. But it's not anything I can support, and if you really think we ought to be doing our job up here, what we ought to be doing is the hard work.
Okay, let me try and translate. This is what's wrong with Republicans. Well, one of the things that's wrong with Republicans. They're talking to you in Washington, inside the Beltway, gobbledygook speak, that they just expect everybody knows.
Well, you know, the GAO says...
What's the GAO?
The General Accounting Office.
What is that? What he needs to say is, look, our own government admits we have $200 billion in wasteful spending. Okay, our own government admits that, and we're not stopping it. And then he gets into, supposedly it helps us in the out years. What are the out years? Any year except what's this current Congress. And guess what? Here's what I meant when I said that your wife would say to you, well, this is the spending in the future years that I promise I'll do unless I get a new husband. The current Congress cannot make the future Congress do anything. So the next Congress that comes in after the elections next year, they could change all of this again. So the idea that somehow you got this great deal doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense at all. Oh, let's hear a little bit more from Senator Coburn. Cut five here. On the waste book and on the wasted government spending.
We're going to put out the waste book again this year. It's getting ready to come out next week. It's got $25 billion in stupid spending this year. None of that's addressed in this. None of the waste, the duplication, the fraud, none of it. And yet, we're going to raise spending back up because the political powers that want to spend more money, rather than be responsible with what we know needs to be done up here, which is hard work eliminating all the stupidity and fraud and duplication that's going on.
Right. But instead, you know what we got? We got Paul Ryan telling us that we got a Rolling Stones song. Said, in divided government, you don't always get what you want. We got a Rolling Stones song. That's what we got. Nice. That's great. But we had some of what we wanted. We were actually slowing down the growth of spending with the sequester. It was something. And you gave it away for a pocket of beans and a promise. And I don't think we're getting the gene stalk. We're not getting the beanstalk. We're not going up to the giant land. And we're not getting the goose that lays the golden eggs, man. We are getting screwed. That's the bottom line. It's really all you need to know about this deal. And yet they're going to come to you next year and say, hey, why don't you elect us? We're the ones who will cut spending. Really? Tell me how that went when Bush was in the White House and the Republicans controlled the House and the Senate. Did we cut spending then? Right. You think I'm falling for that again? So where do we go? You tell me. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE. Hey, you won't believe what one illegal alien was doing for a living, and Homeland Security denied visas to about 24 foreigners because of concerns about suspicious financial activity, and they got in anyway. Wait till you hear how. It's coming up in just a minute. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage here on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. And we started off talking about this so-called budget deal. Now, it hasn't been voted on yet. They want to ram it through tomorrow in the House. And it's, hey, we're going to reduce spending in the future. But now we're going to increase spending by $63 billion. But eventually, we'll decrease spending. Do you believe that? Hey, do you think most Americans are even paying attention to this? I mean, really, to how bad our debt is? To the fact that we're borrowing 40 cents on every dollar that we spend, that Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security are all going bankrupt, that right now the middle class and above, we're paying more in taxes. When you add everything up, property taxes, sales tax, a state, local, federal, 40 to 50% of our income or more. Or Are most Americans just too busy trying to get by and live their life, trying to get their job, trying to get their kids in school, picking up their kids from piano practice and soccer practice? Are they even paying enough attention to know just how bad it is? I don't think most Americans are, and that's how we keep electing these idiots. What do you think? We start with Rooney, WABC. Rooney, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Good evening. How goes the battle, Greg?
It's going, man. We're doing it.
Well, your last mention of how these people get elected, it really, the elections are all rigged and they're all due to election fraud, but I called to say that Paul doesn't have a chance of being elected president of the United States, especially due to his mannerisms, the way he filled with Romney, and also the words he uses. I mean, if you look at his speech today, where he talked about, in a divided government, you have to, you don't always get what you want. And then he goes on to say a pin-headed expression that I always have hated, and that is, he says, that said, blah, 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 no pinhead Republican.
Rooney, thanks for the call. I used to really like Paul Ryan because that dude can explain the budget. He knows a ton about it. He's got some great YouTube videos up that really show it with really cool graphics in 4 minutes that lets people understand it. But, man, if he's the conservative standard bearer now, then we're in trouble. Let me get Tom in. Tom, you're in the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Greg, I couldn't believe when this thing came out, when we talk about how much we're spending and how much we're saving over the next 10 years, and you calculate it out, and anybody with any kind of basic math, $2 billion a year is what the $2 billion. We've got a $4 trillion budget that we're spending. We're $17 trillion in debt, and they talk about $2 billion like it's some fantastic amount. I don't know what it...
You know what's really scary about that is, Tom, is that you're right, but what's really scary is billion used to mean something. Thanks for the call. Billion used to mean something. You know, now it's billion here, billion there. Eventually, we're talking about real money. Yeah, it's over $3 trillion budget. $2 billion doesn't mean much at all.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board, 855-400-SAVAGE, and michaelsavage.com for some of the stories we're talking about tonight. And, of course, Michael's always talking about borders, language, culture. Some great stories on that today. Tucson, Arizona, KVOA. Carmen Figueroa retained employment with the DPS, Department of Public Safety in Arizona, for 13 years. It looks like probably by using a fake birth certificate. She was a spokesman for the department. More recently, an officer. Her brother applied for a U.S. visa recently. And during the investigation, guess what they found out? Carmen Figueroa, 13-year employee of the DPS, an illegal alien. Whoops. Well, you know, hey, these things happen. It's not like we really pay attention anymore. I mean, and she's been doing a good job. So let's just make her a citizen. Let's just, come on, this is part of the amnesty. No word if any charges against Figueroa will be filed, but she resigned Monday and has been under investigation by the U.S. State Department and DPS since late August. She claims she thought she was an American citizen. Right. Come on! What? Meanwhile, Joe Biden, by the way, I feel so bad for Joe Biden. I mean, really, you got to think about Joe Biden's point of view. Here he is. He wanted to be president. He ends up being vice president, which isn't too bad a job, although it was once called a job that was not worth a bucket of warm spit. But, you know, what is the vice president supposed to do? What's one of the main things the vice president does? He goes to funerals, right? So we get the biggest funeral of the century so far, arguably, by a lot of people. Nelson Mandela, and he doesn't get to go. All of a sudden, he's not worth going to the funeral. He has to stay here and hold the holiday ball for Congress. I mean, come on. So poor Joe. But Joe's feeling bad. But Joe went and had a talk at a town hall, I guess it was, for the path to citizenship. And he said, we're going to pass that Senate bill. We're going to pass that Senate bill we're talking about here. It's going to happen. It was an online question and answer session. Sorry, an online town hall. Cecilia Munoz, White House Director of Domestic Policy, and he both took questions via Twitter and Skype. And one woman asked whether her parents, who are illegal aliens, would eventually be deported. Of course not. Come on. This is America. We don't enforce our immigration laws. He didn't say that. Oh, you're right. He said this. You're not going to have to worry about anything. And your parents aren't going to have to worry about being deported. They're going to get in line, and they're going to move exactly the way the bill calls for, and they'll be able to earn their citizenship with a time frame that's rational. Wouldn't the line, though, be back in their home country? No! No, the line's... Okay, wait a second. If I break into Disney World, skip the line, and there's a line out front waiting to get in, and then I just wait in the line at Space Mountain, is that really waiting in the back of the line? I don't think that's waiting in the back of the line. Get this guy out of here. This is a Skype town hall meeting. He's not even on Skype. I don't think he knows what Skype is. I know what Skype is. I like FaceTime better. So they both said immigration reform has support from Republicans and Democrats, and it's backed by the majority of the American people. Well, it depends on what you mean by reform, and I don't think the American people really know and understand exactly what they mean by reform. And what they mean is amnesty, rewarding illegal behavior, legalizing instantly about 11 to 15 million people, and then eventually getting them on the path to citizenship and all that that entails and what it will do to people who have been waiting in line legally, what it will do to legal immigrants, what it will do to low-skilled workers here and their salaries, what it will do to our healthcare system, our education system, and yes, even our criminal justice system. And how is it fair, how is it compassionate to do that for people who came here illegally and let them jump in front of the line, in front of the people who are waiting legally? Somebody's got to explain how that's compassionate and that you're not going to get more of it when you reward it. It doesn't make any sense. I don't think most Americans are. In fact, there's a poll out from Rasmussen says the majority of Americans do not believe that we are going aggressively enough after the illegal aliens that are here. Here it is from Rasmussen. 29% of likely U.S. voters think the government should stop deporting illegal aliens until Congress passes their so-called reform plan. 20 House Democrats have been asking President Obama to do this. Well, only 29% of likely U.S. voters want that to happen. 57% are against halting deportations until amnesty is passed. 14% are undecided. Now, here's the other thing. 60% of Americans think we're not aggressive enough in going after illegal aliens to deport them. And a majority say we want a secure border before any amnesty. Only 19% of American voters think that illegal aliens should be granted legal status right away. And that's what amnesty is. So all the time that you're hearing these polls saying, the majority of Americans are for comprehensive immigration reform. Well, Rasmussen asked the question the right way. Do you believe that those in this country illegally should be granted legal status right away? Because that's what this plan does. And only 19% of Americans say yes to that. 64% say only after the border is secured. And I bet you if you broke that down even further, you'd only get a majority saying that children who were brought here illegally should be instantly legalized. So don't believe the hype. And then you throw this one in that I was telling you about earlier. Homeland Security denied visas to about 24 foreigners. They were concerned about what they called suspicious financial activity. They said, nope, we're not going to expedite these visas, and this is something that cannot be appealed. And they got in anyway, and it was expedited. Guess how? A senator called up and yelled at him. Who? Senator Harry Reid, Democrat. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, Democrat, Nevada. Why? Well, because these guys were going to help fund a casino on the Strip, and he needed the money. And he's for his people. Just not for the law. Homeland Security officials say this was a no. This is not appealable. Suspicious financial activity for some of the visa applicants from Asia. By the way, these people coming in, helping fund this project, I just happen to benefit some companies whose executives have donated heavily to Democrats in recent years. Oh, come on, it had nothing to do with it. This was for the people. So now if you have a relative overseas who's trying to come in and trying to get a visa and they say no, see if you can get them to open it up and expedite it the way Harry Reid did. Sure. By the way, the number two Homeland Security official that Obama's trying to get in, the guy to be number two, Alejandro Ali Mayorkas, his appointment to review by the Senate today, well, he's involved in this too. He worked with Harry Reid to get this done. At one point a year ago, it was so bad, according to the Washington Times, that there was a shouting match on the phone about this. Here's an email from December 5, 2012, from USCIS Legislative Affairs official Miguel Mike Rodriguez. This one's going to be a major headache for us all because Senator Reid's office and staff is pushing hard, and I just had a long yelling match on the phone. So even though this is something that's not even supposed to be appealed, they not only appealed it, they then expedited it. Because after all, Harry Reid's a big, important man, and he can override Homeland Security if he wants to. And you can't figure out why people are getting frustrated. Can't figure out why the average American feels like the whole system is rigged. Can't figure out why we are so frustrated and want to throw the bums out. Can't figure it out. Maybe it has something to do with that. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. Get you on board the program, michaelsavage.com as well. So we're talking about the budget, and we're talking about this crazy illegal alien situation. Let me start with Barry, WABC. Barry, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
All right, I'm loving what you're doing. And I could tell you, when Joe Biden was told that Mandela died, Joe Biden's response was, oh, what team does he play for? But anyway, seriously.
Oh, dear.
We're looking at a real bad crisis in this country. The illegal aliens are coming. We're being invaded legally and illegally. There's so many scams that go on here in New Jersey and New York, all throughout the country, where people in the country legally and illegally are running all kinds of scams, money scams, and nothing has happened. We even had the Russian consulate getting Medicaid.
Yeah, $1.5 million in Medicaid for them. Yeah, and when you're talking about the scams, you're right. The food stamp scam in New York, where they're selling it down to Haiti. The people are coming in on their visas and overstaying their visas, and we still don't really have a way to stop that, even though we supposedly put it in law over a decade ago, I think it was. You're right. All this stuff keeps going, and they're doing nothing to fix it. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. I appreciate the call. Hey, let me get Kevin in, WMAL. Kevin, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for Doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I'm here in Washington, D.C., and I see such a perversion of our government. It used to be someone was a career politician and looked down upon. I remember my grandfather thinking he was no better because this man was a career politician than a rapist. You know?
And ouch.
We look at a career politician, and these people look at him like gods. I'm a vendor that does parties and events and stuff like that. And I was at a government agency Christmas party this past weekend. They spent $300,000 with vendors and event planners and everything else for 72 people to have a party.
And these were government people?
Yeah.
Wow. No, thanks for the call, Kevin, because I think you're hitting on something. Something big that's wrong with our system. And this is something I've talked about many, many times. We did away. We fought a revolutionary war to get rid of royalty, and we've created new royalty. There are two types of royalty in our country now, celebrities and congresspeople. If you are a congressman, a senator, a president, you are different than the rest of us. You are the elite. See, you get special security if you're high enough up. You know, the leaders of the House, the leaders of the Senate, the president, the vice president, etc. You guys get your own special security. Quite often, you get your own private jets to fly you around if you're high enough up. You have your aides. You have a little circle around you. As you walk down the street, they keep people away from you so they just can't walk up and talk to you. When you go to town hall meetings, they step in and help and keep the crowd away if there's a problem. As you walk through life, everybody has to call you senator, congressman. They can't just call you your name. You have a special little pin on your jacket that lets you breeze through security in most places because you're special. And you become this person who lives in this bubble of speciality. And you really start to believe that you're special. You really start to believe you're better than the rabble you represent, as how you see us. Couldn't be farther away from what the founders wanted. Now, our founding fathers, those guys were the elite. Those guys really were elite over the vast majority of Americans at the time. Highly educated, many of them highly successful businessmen. But you know what they said? We're going to come, we're going to serve, we're going to leave. We're doing this as a true service to our country. Not to get rich, not to make a career, not to go on a speaking tour and write a book afterwards. To do what we need to do to save our country and go back to being a businessman, a farmer, an inventor, whatever it is that they were. You're right. It's gotten totally twisted. How do we get back to what it was supposed to be? 855-400-SAVAGE. Get you on 855-400-SAVAGE. Hey, if you want to become a jihadist suicide bomber, you won't believe what you have to do now before you blow yourself up. I think recruiting is going to get even tougher now. You got to hear this. We'll hit it in just a second. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. I got to get you this story. I thought this was a joke. I thought for sure this was out of The Onion. But I'm telling you, I'm checking it. It's out of memory. The Middle East Media Research Institute. Jonah Goldberg linked to it over National Review. A couple other people are linking to it. And I'm like, this has got to be a joke. Come on. But I went to the memory site. I watched this thing. Memory, the Middle East Media Research Institute. Here's what they do. They listen to all the radical imams, and they translate the Arabic into English for us so we can hear what they're saying. Listen to this from Abdallah al-Khalif. They're talking about jihadist suicide bombers and a guy that had a question. We'd like to show you a fatwa which appeared on the lines of Sunnah Internet Forum. One Wahhabi wrote, "Dear Sheikh, may Allah grant you martyrdom and black-eyed virgins in paradise." Well, you know, that's the way you start every conversation. "I wanted to commit a martyrdom operation. I turned to Sheikh Abu Dima al-Kassab, who told me they had invented a new and unprecedented form of martyrdom operations. Explosive capsules are inserted into your anus." Wait, what? Yeah, you heard me. Explosive capsules inserted somewhere you don't want to insert anything. Something that's supposed to be exit only. "In order to train for this method of jihad, you must consent to being sodomized for a period of time so that your anus becomes wider, making room for the explosives." I apologize for the graphic nature of this conversation, but this is what the imam was saying. Are you listening to this? "So my question is whether I am permitted to allow one of the mujahideen access to my anus. If my intentions are honorable and the purpose is to train for jihad by widening my anus." The sheikh praised Allah and said, "In principle, sodomy is forbidden. However, jihad is more important. It is the pinnacle of Islam. If sodomy is the only way to reach this pinnacle, then there is no harm in it. The rule is that necessity makes the forbidden permissible. Something that is required in order to perform a duty becomes a duty, and no duty takes precedence over jihad." Serious here. "Therefore, you must be sodomized. After you've been sodomized, you must ask Allah for forgiveness." Now, if you think it's hard to recruit people to blow themselves up, you're right. It's kind of hard. They don't have as many as they probably like right about now. But it's this way. Sometimes it has to be threatening their family if they don't blow themselves up. You know what I mean? Sure, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. All right? The ends justify the means. This is jihad we're talking about. But if you thought it was hard before, now you're telling these people they have to allow themselves to be repeatedly sodomized to widen their you-know-what so they can put in explosive capsules? Man, they better throw a couple more virgins into the pile if they expect this thing to go down. Holy cow. I can't even make that stuff up. That's just how crazy it's gotten. Meanwhile, Santa is warning that there might be no Christmas this year. Well, not every Santa, just Greenpeace Santa. Yeah, Greenpeace has a video out, a Save the Arctic video, and they're using Downton Abbey actor Jim Carter in it, and they show him in this kind of dark concrete room, water dripping, the lights are flickering like a horror movie, and he says, "Dear children, I regrettably bring bad tidings. For some time now, melting ice here in the North Pole has made our operations and our day-to-day life intolerable and impossible. And there may be no alternative but to cancel Christmas." He said he wrote letters to Barack Obama and Vladimir Putin. "Sadly, my letters have been met with indifference. Needless to say, these individuals are now at the top of my naughty list." See, the Arctic ice is melting. Well, all Santa has to do is move to the South Pole because you got the new record, 135.8 degrees below zero, and the ice is growing there. Just trying to help you out, Santa. Let me get Casey in, WABC. Casey, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for Michael. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg, nice to hear from you. Yeah, I'm just a lonely chef here. I just got off work, and I heard you talking about, I just turned out, he said, what do we need to do to, you know, help Congress, you know, what can we do? And I said, term limits. It's the only thing, they got rid of them, and I'm telling you, that is what will get us right back on track. If you can't get it done in 6 years, get out. That's it.
I'm totally with you. Casey, thank you. I'm totally with you. I know Dr. Savage has talked about term limits for a very long time. And, you know, I used to think, well, you know, we got to let the American people pick who they want. Uh-uh. It's just too much of a rigged system now when you're the incumbent. It makes it very difficult for new people to get in, people who don't want to be career politicians. I agree with you. We got to do it. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor here on The Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. And online, go to MichaelSavage.com, and you'll see a lot of the stories that we're talking about today. Well, the fallout from Mandela's funeral continues. From Obama taking a selfie, to the handshake with Raul, to the sign language signer faking it. We'll get you all the details on that. And then I want to get you the story about the six-year-old suspended for sexual harassment. 6 years old, sexual harassment. Is his last name Clinton? No, stop that. And also how your BB gun is now being treated like a real gun. You'll shoot your eye out, kid. All that is coming up this hour of the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, MichaelSavage.com. So let's start with Mandela's funeral. It wasn't a funeral, it was a memorial. It was more like a celebration. It wasn't really a sad time. Okay, listen, I understand that it was a celebration of life, and actually I like that. I like going to funerals where the deceased has left instructions that his life is to be celebrated and that people should try not to cry and be sad because he lived a great, full life. His belief in Jesus Christ has him secure in his knowledge that he will be in heaven, or whatever your religion happens to be. For me, it's Christianity. And that he wants you to celebrate his life. I love weddings like that. I love how New Orleans does it. You know, where they end up with a big jazz parade at the end of it. I love all that. And I get that. It was at the big soccer stadium. And there were people, they were blowing those vuvuzelas again. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But you know the thing I'm talking about, the big plastic horn that made it so you turned down the volume on the World Cup last time? It was like a giant swarm of mosquitoes that were coming around you all the time. It was horrendous. Well, they were playing that thing again. And people were singing and dancing, and that's all great. But I kidded around on my morning show yesterday that I do normally. All right. I kidded around that here's President Obama finally doing what really he's good at. The one thing he's good at and why he got elected, he's great at giving a speech with teleprompters and sounding really good. I mean, you heard him. You know, he's got the echo in the background, and he's looking up like his iconic photo that was on his shirt and posters, and he's looking from this side to that side as he reads the teleprompter, and he's got the echo sound going, and everybody's like, wow, this guy's awesome! And it was perfect for him because he had to distract you from all the bungling that's going on here at home. From the rollout of the Obamacare website, to the Obamacare deal itself, to what's happening with the Arab Spring, to what's happened still with being 7.3 million jobs under where we need to be. To, I mean, just on and on and on with all the problems that we've been having, right? And of course, Benghazi and Fast and Furious and the IRS going after the Tea Party and everything that's been going on, he can finally go out and look presidential. And he brought the other presidents with him, so they're on Air Force One. There's all these great photos going out because, remember, President Obama, in the most transparent presidency ever, has seen fit to now shut out media photographers in many of his events now. And he only allows the official White House photographer to release photos that he has approved. Are we in the former Soviet Union? Can we check? Can we check what country are we living in again? Aren't we supposed to have a free press? What happened to that? Oh, come on, free press. Oh, what are you thinking? Come on. So, with all that going on, he's looking presidential, right? And he was out there speaking, and I was like, man, somehow he's going to make this about him. And I was kidding around. I said, you know, you've seen this new thing where young people are taking selfies at funerals. Literally, they're going in front of the coffin, holding out their cell phone and taking the photo, posting it on their Facebook or Twitter account, and saying, here I am at Grandma's funeral. Going to miss you, Graham. And they're smiling. And are you kidding? Do you have no sense of decorum? No, they don't. Nobody has ever taught them how to behave. And this generation coming up really thinks everything should be on the internet. And if it's not on the internet, it didn't really happen. If you're not having people post about what you're doing today, then your day didn't really matter. That's really how these kids think. It's craziness. I mean, with my daughter has a cell phone. She's 14 years old. We have it so we can converse with each other and so that she can text her friends. And we have to regulate that thing because she would be on it all the time. But I don't know how many people are actually regulating this with their kids. So they're growing up thinking this is what life is. Obama, you would think, is old enough to know that this isn't the right thing to do. But here he is at a memorial. And you see the photo. Everybody's seen it by now. He's out there taking a selfie of himself, the British Prime Minister, and the Danish Prime Minister, who, by the way, is a hottie. I mean, let's be honest. And Michelle is the only one who acts like she's at a funeral. It's a memorial service, and it was a celebration. It's a funeral, okay? It's a memorial, whatever you want to call it. She's the only one sitting there with some sense of decorum. And here's the other thing. The only reason you're seeing this photo is because this was a huge event with international media, and Obama couldn't control it. So he couldn't just have the official photos out. He's released official photos now. None of those photos show him taking a selfie. All those photos show him acting like you should act at a memorial. But we got this one because he couldn't control this. And this is when you find out what somebody's really like. You've heard the expression, you want to see somebody's character? Catch them when they think nobody's looking. You want to build your character? Then act when you're alone the same way you would if you knew somebody was looking. Right? Well, somebody's looking, and we're seeing the president's character. Oh, come on, it's really not a big deal. What? The guy who made selfiesatfunerals.tumblr.com, the guy that really started to show just how crazy these selfies were, he thinks they're great, on his website, did you see what he posted? Our work here is done. And he posted the selfie of Obama at the funeral, and he says, hey, this just happened at Nelson Mandela's memorial service. Not exactly a funeral, to be fair, but I'll just go ahead and take credit for the whole thing. Thank you, world, and good night. And he said, that's my last posting on this site, because now the president is taking a selfie at a funeral. Yeah, it really shows you something, doesn't it? It's pretty amazing. It's become an international incident now, by the way. RedState.com's Eric Erickson tweeted, thank you, Mrs. Obama, for knowing how to behave at a funeral. Yeah, she was the only one doing it the right way. Now, the White House has released its own set of photos showing how he was really acting at the funeral. And you want to talk about how this is all about me? Listen to what Obama said. Beyond everything you've heard in the news, Obama said this at the funeral. Mandela set me on an improbable journey that finds me here today. And while I will always fall short of Madiba's example, he makes me want to be a better man. Hey, I'm glad somebody's making him want to be a better man. I thought that was Michelle's job. Somebody's making, well, at least, see, it was all about him. Set me on an improbable journey. Finds me here today. While I will always fall short, makes me want to be a better man. This is me. Want to talk about me. Want to talk about I. Want to talk about number one. Say my, oh my. Thank you, Toby Keith. It's all about that. It's all about me. I mean, look at what he's done recently. We've gone through these before. Mandela dies. He shows, tweets out the picture of himself in Mandela's jail cell. Anniversary of Rosa Parks on the bus, tweets a picture of himself sitting on the bus. Anniversary of JFK's assassination, tweets a picture of himself gazing up at JFK's portrait in the White House. Neil Armstrong dies, tweets out a picture of himself staring up at the moon. It's all about the one. It's all about the O. It's all about him. I thought there were narcissists and there were narcissists, but man, between him and Bill Clinton, I don't know who wins. This is who we have as the President of the United States of America. And you know what? Maybe he's just reflecting who we are. I mean, really, because it seems like that's how most of us are now. It's all about me. Oh, but wait, MSNBC had this. Erin Cameron on MSNBC said, I think people are reading a lot into this photo that just captured a particular moment. This is a big tempest in a teapot, and it's a confluence of racist and sexist stereotypes, as if Michelle is this angry black woman, and if President Obama is this oversexed black man who every time he talks to a woman, by the way, she is some sort of object of flirtation. She's a world leader in her own right. Yeah, see, if you think this is wrong, it's simply because you're a sexist and a racist. Yeah, wait a second. We used to make fun of Bill Clinton being oversexed. He was white. We're making fun of, remember the French president, not Jacques Chirac, the older guy, Sarkozy, oui, Sarkozy. We used to see him, he'd be looking at women's butts and they'd have photos of that. What? But if it's Obama, it's because you're racist. I mean, come on, man. It's getting old. But that wasn't the only problem. Because then you get to the handshake. President Obama shaking hands with Raul Castro. And I know people try to say, oh, come on, it's those Republicans trying to pick it at President Obama. This was because he was trying to show the moment when Nelson Mandela, the moment when Mandela would step across the line and work with people. Yeah. And when Mandela worked with the clerk, it's because the clerk was willing to work with him and change apartheid. Okay, the reason he invited his jailer to his inauguration, the reason he had the clerk and they won the Peace Prize together is because they were working at fixing apartheid. Nelson Mandela was a political prisoner, remember? Now, yes, he had had his problems in the past. Don't misunderstand. Let's tell the whole truth. Nelson Mandela turned violent after he saw white police officers gun down nonviolent protesters to apartheid. He said, I can see no longer purpose for nonviolence. And he was part of the ANC's militant wing. And yes, people died. And so he was put in prison. But while he was in prison, he changed. And he changed back to nonviolence and peace, and his redemption and that story is amazing, and what he did when he got out to unite the country is amazing, and that's why all of us hold him in such high regard. But here's President Obama shaking hands with Raul Castro. No other American president has shook the hand of the Castro brothers except Bill Clinton at the UN, and I think it was 2002. And by the way, that wasn't photographed. Other presidents have gone out of their way to avoid doing that. Why? Because it gives these dictators legitimacy. They want a photo with the leader of the free world. They want to be able to show that to their country. They want to be able to show that to other countries' leaders. They want to show that they are not the bloody dictators they are. Raul Castro, by the way, at Nelson Mandela's funeral, still has political people in prison right now, political prisoners in Castro's Cuba right now. He gave medals of bravery to the Cuban MiG pilots who shot down American citizens in unarmed planes in international waters on rescue missions. Just a couple days ago, the International Day of Human Rights, they arrested 20 people in Castro's Cuba and put them in prison. And this is the guy whose hand President Obama shook. And we're supposed to act like it's no big deal. I wonder if he even knew who he was. You know, hey, Obama might have just turned around and saw, everybody loves me, everybody's smiling, everybody wants to shake my hand. Sure, I'll shake anybody's hand. Come on over. Hey, let's take a selfie. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe he doesn't even know who it was. It wouldn't surprise me, unfortunately. Maybe I'm just being too nice to him. 855-400-SAVAGE. Get you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. I'll take your thoughts on that, and we'll get you into how Google scammed you out of some money. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Attention. The rumors are true. The Savage Nation is moving. Listen to me, Michael Savage, starting January 2nd at noon. Noon, right here on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Don't forget, starting in the new year, Michael is moving to drive time, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Do not miss a minute. You can go to michaelsavage.com for all the details, all the stories we hit. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you into the show. 855-400-SAVAGE. We were talking about the selfie by Obama, the handshake with Raul, and don't forget the guy that did the sign language. He was standing next to all these dignitaries doing their eulogies, and he's up there, he's signing, he's making all kinds of movements. He was fake. Well, he was a real person I saw. No, he wasn't a fake person, but what he did was fake. All kinds of people were sounding off on this today that this guy was not doing any kind of sign language. Nicole Dutoit, an official sign language interpreter, watching the broadcast and a telephone interview with the AP. The man on stage, an embarrassment, horrible, a circus, really bad. Only he can understand those gestures. South African Parliament member Wilma Neuhout, also deaf, said he was communicating nothing with his hand and arm movements. How did this happen? And I watched it. I went back and watched him, and I'm like, yeah, that doesn't look like anything like real sign language. How did they allow a guy up there who didn't know what he was doing to pretend to be a sign language expert, a sign language interpreter? And what kind of guy does that? I mean, that just blows my mind. That you, yeah, I do sign language. Sure. Yeah. A four-hour show? Sure. I don't know. $1,000. How about that? That'll work for you? All right, good. Let's do it. Bring it on. Bring it on. And then he gets to say I was Mandela's sign language interpreter for his memorial. I don't understand it. Yeah, he'll be on Oprah soon. His book, How I Became the Sign Language Interpreter. Let me start with Justin in Alabama. Justin, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing well.
All right. Well, I'm 20 years old. I'm trying to go to school, but the thing is, what I'm noticing is that our leaders, the leaders of our nation's incompetence it's going to make me and other people of my generation pay the price for what they did. And they
absolutely.
And it's like they live in a fantasy where it's like, oh, we got some debt. Well, we'll just pile on some more debt and some more debt and some more debt. They don't have to be held accountable because they don't face the kind of problems that we have to face. I have to come out of school. There's no guarantee I'm going to get a job when I pop right out of college. I mean, I'm going to be in debt. And how in the world do they expect me to live in a world like this?
Justin, my advice to you is to get a government job, okay?
Yeah.
Justin, let me ask you something real quick before you go. I think you're dead on right with this. They don't understand it at all. They don't care. They're trying to get short-term election. It's like these people, some of these people that own a huge company and all they care about is the next quarter instead of what's going to happen to my company 5 years down the road. Justin, you're only 20 years old. Have you ever taken a selfie at a funeral?
No, I have not.
Good for you. Thank you for getting in. There's the first time for everything. Selfie at the funeral. He's right. He's right. They don't care. How many times have you ever worked for a company? They don't care about the future. They care about now. Google taking some of your money. We'll hit it next.
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. You can jump on board with us. It's not hard. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. Take your calls in a second. Also, michaelsavage.com, another way to get on board and to check out some of the stories that we've been talking about. Did you see the other thing that happened with the Mandela funeral? Archbishop Desmond Tutu's home was robbed while he was at the memorial. Man, that's just low. I mean, that's just about as low as you can get. But, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, that's the way people are today. Okay, now, let me throw this one out to you, and we'll get back to your phone calls, too. Google taking your money. You know, beyond the normal ways. We're now being told it was just a misunderstanding. What happened was Google's top executives were able to pay about between $3 and $5.3 million less than they should have paid for the fuel for their fleet of corporate jets because of a misunderstanding with NASA and our government. So basically, you helped fuel their jet to the tune of probably around $5 million so they could fly to Tahiti and the Bahamas. Well, hey, it's a small price to pay. Google's a good company. There's a lot of cool stuff you got from Google. Do you have Gmail? You know, maybe you've got a Droid operating system on your cell phone. I mean, you know, come on, listen. These guys have done a lot of good for us. Well, what's $5 million here? Come on, that's nothing. Google billionaires Larry Page, Eric Schmidt, Sergey Brin. They have as many as 9 planes and helicopters. By the way, these are the same kind of people that will tell you got to stop global warming. 9 planes and helicopters. They operate at a government-run airbase about 4 miles from Google headquarters. And they have a company called H211 that the jets use to take from that company to take NASA scientists on an occasional flight. Now, the deal was supposed to be when you take NASA on that flight, we will give you this cut rate on the fuel. But when you're flying on your own for your own personal pleasure, we're not giving you that cut rate. They say it was just a misunderstanding. Okay, well, if it was a misunderstanding, then we're going to get them to pay us the back money on that now, right?
I'm not really sure what you mean by that.
Well, it was a misunderstanding, so let's get our money back.
Well, I'm not sure that we can do that. And spokesman did not immediately return a question from Fox News on whether they would return the money. Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican Iowa, says, yeah, we should be getting repayment on that. What do you want to bet? You think they will?
Yeah, I'm sure they will. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on. 855-400-SAVAGE, and you are on the program. Let me get Paul in, WABC. Paul, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp in for Michael. Go right ahead.
Hi, it's my pleasure to be on the Savage Nation. Okay, I would like to talk about if the news would have gotten hold of a picture of President Bush or any of the other Republican presidents. They would have been all over it. They would have been so excited to get a picture of Bush, taking a selfie. They would have been all over it, like, look what he's trying to do to our nation. He's trying to show all these kids that they don't need to be respectful at a funeral.
Yeah, a little double standard action. I think you're right, Paul. I mean, you've seen it from the way he was covered to the way that this president is being covered and the way they try to cover for him. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I still haven't seen enough talk about is the idea that the only reason we're seeing this photo is because President Obama wasn't able to control this one with his official White House press photographer because he's not letting the press into many of his events now with photographers. And even the press is starting to get a little bit ticked off about that. Let me get Ray in, KSFO. Ray, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make 3 comments. The first comment is I think that it was a good thing that Obama made overtures to Castro. We've been embargoing that island for the past 50 years. It hasn't gotten us anywhere. Why not try a different approach? This will open up trade for American businesses. It open up American wage
things to Cuba. And
yeah. All right, got you, Ray. I understand your point. Here's what people who actually care about this say. Why in the world would you reward a bloody dictator? A guy who literally has had Americans killed and then given bravery medals to the MiG pilots that did it. When we had four Americans shot down in international waters. That was during Clinton's time, and even Clinton said it was despicable. They still have political prisoners. The history of the Castro brothers is rife with terrorism and killing. And you're going to just act like everything's okay and give them a big smiling handshake? Jimmy Carter said, this was something significant. So the people that are trying to say, oh, it's just conservatives getting upset about nothing. Well, Jimmy Carter doesn't think it's nothing. And I believe me, Castro didn't think it was nothing. If you want to start working back channels of trying to see if the Castros will, you know, start working towards real human rights improvements, that's one thing. To do it this way? Mm-mm. I don't think so. Thanks for the call, though. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. Let me throw this one at you. You see how crazy this world is getting? This is the second time I've seen a story like this, where a six-year-old, a first-grade six-year-old, suspended for kissing a girl. And they said it was sexual harassment. The six-year-old boy isn't even, he's not sexual. He's a six-year-old boy. I mean, I remember having a crush on a girl when I was 6 years old. I didn't even know, I had no clue about the idea of sexual crush. I just thought she was cute. There's a little more to the story, though. You read through this story, it's in Colorado. Hunter Yelton says, yeah, he has a crush on the girl at school and she likes him back, he says. Quote, it was during class, yeah. We were doing reading group and I leaned over and kissed her on the hand. That's what happened. Now, the school district says, well, see, the focus needs to be on his behavior. We usually try to get the student to stop, but if it continues, we need to take action, and it sometimes rises to the level of suspension. Okay, so how many times has this gone on? And did the girl say she didn't want it to happen? Because he says she liked it. But you didn't say it was just unwanted touching. You said it was sexual harassment. You couldn't just have moved the kid away from the girl? You couldn't have said, all right, look, I told you to quit kissing her. You're in timeout, or you're in this seat over here away from her. I remember when I was a senior in high school, even still as a senior in high school, I was taking required economics course and required Americanism versus communism. The same teacher taught it. Yes, we used to require kids to learn Americanism versus communism. It's no longer required, but it was required for me to graduate. And it was kind of a boring class, and I tend to talk. Let's just be honest. All right, it was my fault. I was talking to this girl next to me. All right, and eventually, Mr. Briquette says, Mr. Knapp, remember, it was Americanism versus communism. It's time for you to go to Siberia, where it's cold and lonely. And he had a chair set up right by the air conditioning vent. And when you messed up in Mr. Briquette's class, remember, I'm a senior in high school, 17 years old, he would make you go sit back away from the class, right underneath the air conditioning vent, until you got frozen out. That was Siberia. Why couldn't they just put this kid in Siberia? Instead, they're saying this kid's got to be suspended for sexual harassment. He's 6 years old. You're kidding me. Now, the mom, I think, is a little off. She says she saw nothing wrong with her son's display of affection. Well, if the school says not to do it and the girl doesn't want it, but how many chances? And how did we get to this point? By the way, my wife is a first grade teacher right now. And she's told me stories. I know there are sixth grade boys who are hitting and biting people and not getting suspended from school. Yet this kid kisses a girl on the hand and they suspend him. This is political correctness gone just crazy. And it's about this idea of boys versus girls. I got one other one to throw out at you. Just try to think of it from a slightly different angle. Imagine if this boy was suspended for kissing another boy on the hand. Imagine that. Would they have done that? See, I have a feeling it would be the opposite. I have a feeling they probably would have praised this boy for being secure enough in his sexuality that he could show how much he loved this fellow boy. And if they had suspended him for sexual harassment for kissing a boy, there'd probably be a protest rally outside the school. But this, oh, this is okay. Let me get Tim in on this. Tim from WMAL. Tim, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, what's going on? Hey,
you, sir.
I just think it's crazy nowadays. We're teaching these children, I guess the school system's trying to tell them how they should feel about things. That they're trying to tell this little girl, hey, you were sexually harassed, when in all actuality, it was something that she welcomed. The little boy, you know, consensual. I know it's a six-year-old, but it's just a little consensual peck on the hand. But now we're teaching these kids, hey, that wasn't just something consented. You didn't just consent to that. She was harassing you. And so they're trying to teach the kids that this is what harassment is. And I was telling this call screener, it's almost like nowadays with the bullying issue. They're telling kids all the time, hey, you're being bullied. You're being bullied, when really it's just like kids don't like each other. I have a six-year-old daughter who came home the other night and was like, oh, yeah, this girl was bullying me at school. And I said, well, how are they bullying? She said, well, she just said she didn't like me. I was like, I try to teach my little girl that's not bullying. It's just, you know, sometimes in life people don't like each other. It doesn't mean you're bullying. We don't need to.
Amen. Great point, Tim. No, that is a great point. We are raising our kids to label everything as bullying or sexual harassment, and I'm a victim. And that's what we're raising them to be. We've raised a couple generations this way now. That's what we're supposed to be assuming now. And you know what else we're raising them to be? And thanks for the call, Tim. Well, the other thing we're raising them is to be okay with surveillance, right? I mean, because, well, obviously you've got to let us look in your locker. Obviously, you got to let us check your cell phone. Obviously, you've got to. There's nothing wrong with having, you know, giving out all your information on the internet. You know, we're raising a couple generations here now that aren't going to have any problem, really, with things that our revolution was fought over, including your Fourth Amendment rights. It's good stuff. It's absolutely right. You're dead on with it. And by the way, you're right about telling these people that this was sexual harassment. The 6-year-old boy said, he asked his mom, what's sex? I don't even know what they're talking about. Here's the other thing. So we had a president that was accused by a woman of having him rape her, and several others have accused him of real sexual harassment. He lied about it under oath, and the liberal said, no problem. No problem whatsoever. Look, everybody lies about sex. There's this little 6-year-old boy who kisses a girl on the hand, and the liberals say, suspend him! Suspend him! Yeah, that makes sense. I got to tell you what's going on, by the way, with your child's BB gun that's going to blow you away. And how about one of our fallen Marines being shipped back home to his parents without his heart? I'm going to get you that story in a second. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and michaelsavage.com. We got a lot of things in the hopper here. We were talking about the selfies at the funeral, the Castro handshake. We were talking about the 6-year-old who was suspended for kissing a girl on the hand for sexual harassment. And that got us into this idea that we're conditioning our kids to be victims. Bobby wants to chime in on that. Bobby, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Mr. Knapp, it's great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Number one, I'd like to say you're doing a great job. I listen to Michael Savage every night. We have different opinions, but he's a great entertainer, and you're doing a great job. But really, you're missing the point, because we are conditioning our children to be victims. I have a 5-year-old son. First child, I love him to death. It's amazing what he comes up with and what he says. So now we have a 6-year-old who knows that he has a sexual harassment charge, and a young lady who is now a victim. They're both set up for our Social Security system and our penal code system, right? Future prisoner, future victim.
I wish I could say you're wrong, Bobby, but I do. Thanks for the call. I do think we're doing this. Victimhood in America is a profession now. And as you mentioned, all the people now who are on disability, I had a military man on my show a couple months ago. He is a quadruple amputee from Afghanistan, IED victim. He doesn't see himself as a victim. He has prosthetics on both legs, where he is actually now running in races. He has one prosthetic arm that he can do almost everything. The other one, he has a hook. He said, I can do everything I used to do. He said, I'm not a victim at all. He's on speaking tours. He's helping other military men who have been injured in battle. He is gainfully employed. And there are people that say, well, I'm feeling a little depressed. I think I need to be on disability the rest of my life. Because they've been raised in this victim mentality. You want to know why we have so many problems throughout our society. And I think a lot of it is this victim mentality. There was a great piece by Thomas Sowell not too long ago where he was showing that in Great Britain, they just did a survey, and there is a achievement gap between whites and blacks in an area of Great Britain. The blacks are scoring higher than the whites. You know why? Thomas Sowell, who is black, says, I believe it's because of this. The immigrant blacks are scoring the highest in Great Britain. Then native blacks there in Great Britain. But then the whites that are scoring below them are the lower class whites in the white ghetto. Why? He believes because it's several generations of being taught that they're victims and that they can't achieve and that the only thing they can do is have government take care of them. Well, once you have a strong serving of that for a few generations, what do you expect? I think that's where we're going. That's some big problems. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. Oh, and I wanted to throw this one out to you, too. You want to know how crazy it is? Crazy we're getting with guns. And once again, now we're trying to teach kids that all guns are bad and we got to be fearful of that. Remember that little BB gun you had when you were a kid? Remember the whole Red Ryder BB gun? Just shoot your eye out, kid! Well, now, in many states and cities, they're actually treating BB guns and airsoft guns the same way they do real guns. It's not Fox News here. New Jersey and other jurisdictions are now making no distinction between BB guns and real guns. In New Jersey, you have to register these with the state, and they have the same laws as any other firearm. There was a kid, and they're enforcing this. In October, a man was arrested in Jersey for shooting an airsoft gun at a rubber duck for target practice in his own yard. His neighbor called because he said, there's a man in the backyard with a gun. It was an airsoft gun that he was shooting at a rubber duck. And even though the cops came and knew exactly what it was, they still arrested him. They still put him in jail, and he had to bond out at $2,500. Now, I've got an 11-year-old who wants to learn how to shoot. She said, Dad, can I have a BB gun? I'm like, sure. I was planning on getting it for Christmas. I was going to take her in the backyard, teach her how to shoot. I got a sizable backyard, put it up in a good, safe place, put a couple tin cans up there, teach her how to do it, and watch her go. Now I'm afraid she's going to be arrested. I might be arrested. This is crazy. This is. I mean, at some point, all you can do is laugh, isn't it? Let me get Kurt on in New Mexico about this 6-year-old being suspended for sexual harassment for kissing a girl on the hand. Kurt, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. All your callers have been correct, but another angle is this is a war against boys and masculinity. We know who runs academia. It's liberals, which is the same as radical feminists, which is the same as all the other Marxists, all the other isms that we talk about every day. They just don't like little boys, and they want to keep them under the, they want to crush all masculinity on these little kids, compliant little drones.
Kurt, thanks for the call. I think there is something to that, because everything that is stereotypical for a boy is what the people on the far left don't like. A little bit too much aggression. A little bit too much testosterone. Moving around too much. They're so fidgety. You think about it, everything that you're supposed to do in elementary school is what a little boy doesn't want to do. Sit still. Sit in your seat for hours at a time. Only do desk work. Be quiet. Don't get up and down. Don't run around. Don't play games. Don't push each other. Don't wrestle with each other. Everything the boy wants to do is wrong. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Don't forget, starting the new year, the doctor is moving to drive time, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Find out all the details at michaelsavage.com. You can also chime in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. So we're talking about the six-year-old boy who was suspended from school in Colorado because he kissed another six-year-old girl on the hand. Sexual harassment! Are we raising victims? And are we raising boys to believe that their natural instincts are criminal? I also got to get you an unbelievable story on a teenager who isn't getting the punishment that he probably should get. Kind of ties into this about not taking personal responsibility, too. Then, the budget. Oh, we got this great budget deal. Oh, man, this thing is awesome. Except, if you actually care about our fiscal problems, it's really a step in the wrong direction. The Republicans are trying to act like it's a victory. It's really a step backwards. I'm going to get you the details without getting too much into the numbers. And before the hour's out, would you want to go live on Mars for the rest of your life? 200,000 people said yes. I'll tell you that one. It's all coming up this hour of the Savage Nation. I will get you that story about the Marine's body sent home to the parents without his heart. Whoa. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. So we've got the story about the six-year-old boy. So are we raising victims? Are we setting these kids up for failure? And we also have been talking about personal responsibility. And all this goes along with this other story I've got. I'm going to tell you a story. You should imagine that the people closest to you were killed by a drunk driver. Your wife, your daughter, your mother, your brother. See, 16-year-old Ethan Couch thought it'd be fun to go get wasted. He and some of his friends stole some beer. He got drunk. He got drunk to the point that he had a 0.24 blood alcohol level. They weren't done. They wanted more beer. So he and his friends all piled in to his pickup and took off. Woo! Let's go have some fun! I'm feeling great, man. I'm buzzed. How about you? Woo! Radio playing, blaring down the road. In a 40-mile-per-hour zone, the truck was going about 70. 70 and a 40. There were four people who were standing outside their vehicle on the side of the road talking. He plowed right into them. He killed the youth pastor, Brian Jennings. He killed the mother, Holly Boyles, and her daughter, Shelby Boyles. He killed the 24-year-old Brianna Mitchell. And he injured nine others. There's no doubt he did it. Nobody denied it. There's no doubt he was drunk. Nobody denied it. The prosecutors asked for 20 years behind bars. 20 years for four deaths. Sounds like you're getting off easy to me. Guess what he got? Zero. What? Well, he got probation. And he's getting treatment. See, he's just another victim. He's the victim. Wait, how can he be the victim? He's the one that killed everybody. Well, he had bad parents. They put a psychologist on the stand that said, he's really a product of affluenza. No, not the flu. Affluenza. Being too affluent. See, his family felt that wealth bought privilege, and There was no rational link between behavior and consequences, and they gave him whatever he wanted. When he was 15, he got in trouble. The police gave him a ticket because he had a 14-year-old girl in his truck with him. He'd undressed her and she was drunk, passed out. He got in trouble for that with the cops, but not with his parents. They were giving him affluenza. He was allowed to drive at age 13 against the law because he's a product of affluenza. They allowed him to start drinking and not really caring about it when he was a teenager because he's a product of affluenza. And the judge said she was afraid that he wouldn't get the kind of therapy and treatment and help he needs because we want to save this young man's life. We don't want to see it go to waste. He's the victim here. So, since he can't get the kind of treatment he needs in prison, we're going to give him probation and put him in intensive therapy. His parents say they'll pay the $450,000 price tag for the therapy. Sounds to me like he's still a product of affluenza. The prosecutor said, you know what? We have therapy in prison. No. Somehow he's the victim? This is going to teach him? This is how you're going to save his life? You know what? It reminds me of a bad joke. Conservative and a liberal are walking down the road. On the side of the road, they hear somebody crying for help, and they both run over. And there's this person just beaten and bloody and barely alive, hanging by a thread. And the conservative's like, "We gotta help." You know, just trying to help him bandage his wounds and everything. And the liberal turns to him and says, "I can't believe this. This is horrible. We gotta find the person who did this." And the conservative says, yeah, we'll get to him later. We got to help this person. No, we got to find the person who did this, the liberal says. He needs our help. Yeah, he needs our help. He's the victim. Something horrible must have happened to lead him to do this. Now, listen, my background is in counseling psychology. It's what I used to do. Got a master's in counseling psychology. And let me tell you, there is a lot of crap they tried to feed you in grad school about victimhood. And yes, I have seen people totally messed up by their parents. There is no doubt about it. But you know what? At some point in your life, you've got to say, I control what I do. I cannot blame what I do on my parents. I cannot blame what I do on my past. I have to make a change. I have to take responsibility for my life. Because you know what? If you don't, then you have no control. I mean, really think about this. If you really believe that everything that you do is based on how your parents raised you, then you don't have much say in what happens to your life. Do you really want to go through life believing that you don't have control over what you do? Where do you think that's going to get you? And yet, how many times do you hear people saying that? Well, I can't help it. It's the way I am. Well, I can't help it. That's how my parents raised me. Well, I can't help it. I came from a dysfunctional family. Well, I can't help it. I was abused. Well, I can't help it. I'm an alcoholic. Well, I can't help it. I'm a junkie. Well, I can't help it. Whatever. Is that really making you feel better? Why would you want to be a victim? Why would you want to live your life as a victim? And you ask yourself that because what does a victim get? I mean, a victim, you end up with a horrible life. Living, believing that you're not in control of what happens to your life is a horrible way to live, right? So why would you want to be a victim? Well, guess what? There is short-term gratification for being a victim. See, when you're a victim, you can't help it. What's the point in working hard to change your life because you can't change it anyway? What's the point of working hard trying to get ahead when the man's just going to keep you down anyway? What's the point in anything? I mean, I could take on a second job and try to get out of debt, but it's never going to work anyway, so what's the point? I could go back to school and try to get a degree to get a better job, but, you know, the way I was raised, I'll never be able to graduate anyway, so what's the point? I could try to find a way to work, even though I've got some disabilities, but, you know what? I mean, that's really hard to do, and you know, they probably won't hire me anyway because I'm disabled, and everybody make fun of me. What's the point? And when you see yourself as a victim, and you can tell other people what a victim you are, guess what? Some people reward you. Some people take care of you. Some people tell you it's not your fault. Some people want to give you things. Some people want to buy your vote. It's not your fault. So here you have a 16-year-old teenager who killed four people while he was drunk as a skunk through totally his bad decision-making that had been going on for years. And the judge, instead of giving him 20 years or 15 years or 10 years or 5 years, buys this tripe that he's a product of affluenza, that his parents spoiled him, and therefore he's not responsible for killing four people. You know, if you're going to say that the kids aren't responsible because their parents have spoiled them, we got a whole generation of kids who aren't responsible for anything because there's an awful lot of spoiling going on. I remember when we first wanted to have kids, when my wife was first talking to me about having kids. You know, I'm like, yeah, do you really want to have kids yet? You know, we still, I don't know if we even know what we're doing in life yet. So, like, yeah, come on, let's say, we really think we should have kids. I said, listen, if you really want me to come along with you on the idea of having kids now, you've got to keep me out of Walmart. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, listen, I cannot walk through Walmart without seeing some snotty kid throwing a fit and the parents caving in and giving him whatever he asked for. And if I see one more of those kids, I'm going to go get a vasectomy right now. I was only half kidding. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. You can go to michaelsavage.com for more details. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. We were talking about this victimhood, this lack of responsibility, this idea that everybody's the victim, even the 16-year-old who got drunk and killed four people. Well, he needs treatment, he needs therapy, he needs counseling, not prison. No. We'll get into the House budget deal along with the Senate, House and Senate leader together. Murray and Ryan trying to get this deal done. Is it the right deal? No, not even close, and we'll tell you why. Let me get some of your thoughts on this, too. Let me get Bert in. Bert, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Doing well.
Okay. Hey, you know, he's 16 years old, all this stuff's going on. If you go back 10 years ago, about 10 years ago, about the bum-bashing situation in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Talking about the guys that just thought it would be fun to beat up the homeless people?
Right, but that's not the way it went. You know, I'm the dad of one of the people.
Mm-hmm. So did the homeless guy attack your kid?
Well, that's... No. But that is part of it, but... But the whole situation that went on was that my son, you know, had drove the people there, and it was and the reason they did is because of the new news on the internet about bumbashing.com.
So is the internet's fault?
Well, I don't know if it's that, but I want to tell you that so my son still sits in prison for nothing.
For nothing. He didn't do anything except.
He didn't shoot nobody. He didn't kill anybody. He did not. He was not physically involved in nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Driving the people to the park.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it was the internet's fault. Thanks, Bert, for getting in. Look, I don't know your son's story. I'd have to really look into it to see. But I have a feeling he may be a tiny bit biased here, and Bert is really just showing us exactly what we talked about. And it's not my son's fault. Yeah, maybe he drove the kids to beat up the bum, but, you know, it's not really how it happened. And there was this thing on the internet that told him about beating up bums. I mean, what can you expect? Are you kidding? You know, hey, just like this knockout game. It's all over the internet now. I mean, so any kid that runs up now and knocks somebody out, it's not his fault. It's the media's fault. They put it up on the they're covering this story. It's on TV. It's on the radio. I hear Savage talked about it. It was on the internet. What do you expect these kids to do? I mean, there's nothing you can do except copy horrible behavior that you see, right? Are you kidding? Let me get Michael in, KSFO. Michael, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Great, great. About this kid what is the word you're using? That he's a victim of
Affluenza, they called it. His parents gave him everything he ever wanted that money could buy, so therefore it's not his fault.
Okay. Well, then in that case, if they want to call it that way, let's blame the parents and like this gentleman. Well, you know that because I have three teenagers. Well, one is 20, he's off my range, but Mosiah is also 18. But I have a 15-year-old kid, and in Salt Lake City, he did some stuff, and he got nailed by the law. And, you know, he's paying his dues. And my other son is also did something on that regard, and he's paying his dues. And I put him to work so that they can pay their mistakes. And this, this talk about teaching these kids not to be responsible for their freaking actions, man, it boils my blood.
I'm with you, Michael. Thanks for getting in. You know, it really is a change in just a couple generations in this country. I mean, you know, it used to be if you broke somebody's window with your baseball, you would go up there and say, I'm so sorry, I will do whatever I need to do to work that off and pay to fix your window. If you're, now it's like, well, you know, how do you know my kid did it? And, you know, and it used to be if you got in trouble with the teacher, when you got home, you'd be in double trouble with your parents and your bottom would probably be pretty warm. Now it's, well, what'd you do to my kid? And it's gone from that to now your kid killed four people and, well, you know, it's not really his fault. Man, I'm going to get you into the budget here in just a second. Horrible deal. We'll tell you why. Easy to understand terms. Come.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Apologize. I got my brain going. Hey, my name's Greg Knapp. I'm on the Michael Savage Show, filling in for the doctor. Here's how you get in. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and michaelsavage.com. Lots of ways for you to join the program. And before we continue to talk about this victimhood and affluenza that your parents gave you is the reason that you killed people, I got to throw out the budget thing. Now, I know you've heard all these different numbers, like what we're going to do is we're going to allow the budget to go up $63 billion over the next 2 years, but then we're going to save $23 billion over the next 10 years. So we're actually coming out $23 billion ahead. It's just first we've got to spend $63 billion extra. And that'll be over 10 years, though. So we'll basically, after 2 years, start saving $2.3 billion. Greg, I already checked out. What are you talking about? I can't even keep up with it. Forget all the numbers. Let me explain to you what this really is. How this is really working between Paul Ryan on the House side, Republican Wisconsin, and Patty Murray, Socialist on the Senate side. I'm sorry, Democrat on the Senate side. This is how they worked out their budget. I want you to think of it as your home budget. And you and your wife are trying to figure these things out. Trying to figure out how are you going to stop spending so much money because you're saying, oh my goodness, it's out of control. We're borrowing 40 cents on every dollar we spend, honey. We can't do that. We've already got a debt that is, holy cow, let me see, that's three times. Let me do a little math. We've got a debt that's five times what our annual income is already, and we're still borrowing 40 cents on every dollar we spend, and one of our biggest outlays is interest on our debt. Honey, we got to change this. She says, you're right, honey. You're right. I totally understand it. I'm with you. All right, well, we got to start cutting back now. Well, we can't do that. Wait a second. I mean, I need all these things. I can't cut this back. Honey, we can't cut back from HBO cable to just regular cable. No, I need my HBO. I need my True Blood. Come on. What are you talking about? I can't do that. Well, honey, how about we sell that Mercedes that I got you and we bring you down to a Ford Fusion? You want? No, I love this car. This car is perfect for me. I mean, well, how are we going to cut money? Well, I'll tell you. All right, here's what we're going to do.
And we need a balanced approach, honey, by the way. All you want to do is cut spending. You know, there's other things we can do. Why don't you get out and work harder? I'm trying, honey. So why do you have the woman in this as the spender and the one who's not good, Greg? Why can't it be the man? All right, you can do it the man. I don't care. I just wow, touchy. So here's how it works. Honey, here's my idea. For the next 2 years, I need to spend a little bit more. What? Honey, we need to start cutting? No, we can't cut now. Look, there's just too much we've still got to do. Too much that we still need to buy. But if you just let me spend a little bit more than we're already spending for the next 2 years, then I'll really start cutting back. And then over the next 10 years, we'll actually save some money. Well, all right, you promise? Yeah, I promise. You sure? You promise you're really going to start cutting the spending after 2 years? Yes! Now, there's a couple reasons that all those savings might not happen. What do you mean? Well, I mean, you're my husband right now, but, you know, we've been having some troubles. You may not be my husband in 2 years, and my new husband may let me spend even more, and, of course, you'll still be paying me alimony, so that could be. And the other thing is, by the way, the top three things that we're spending our money on, the things that take most of our money, the top three, we can't touch that. That spending's just going to keep going up forever. And, by the way, it will eventually bankrupt us. But it's way in the future. Don't worry about it. I'm willing to cut these other things, but these top three things that cost the most that are going to make us bankrupt eventually, there's no way around it, I can't touch that. Okay? That's the deal. That is the deal. That's what we got. And that's what we're supposed to be excited about. That's what we're supposed to say is a step in the right direction. Do you think Americans are paying attention to this? Do you think they really understand how bad our debt is? That our deficits are still huge each year? That we're borrowing 40 cents on every dollar? That we just got rid of the sequester? Do you think they really... Only for 2 years? Right. Do they understand that what they just agreed to today will only last until this Congress is over and the next Congress can do whatever they want to? Do you understand that you've got to get... The only thing that matters is this year. That's the only thing that matters. Do you think... Most Americans are paying attention to. I know you are, but do you think most Americans are? And I'm not blaming most Americans. I think most Americans are busy. They're trying to get a job, or they're trying to keep their job, or they're trying to start a new company, or trying to expand their company, or trying to keep their head above water, trying to make sure their family is safe and secure, trying to make sure they're raising their children correctly, taking them to school, picking them up, taking them to soccer practice and piano practice, trying to do all the things that they need to do. Do they have time to pay attention to this? And I understand Paul Ryan's trying to say, you know, he's trying to run for president. And he wants everybody to think that he can be the compromiser. He can be the one who can take care of governing this country. And everybody was tired of all these budget showdowns, so they're trying to stop that. I get it. I get it. But this is a step in the wrong direction. You had the sequester that Obama put in that was a bipartisan agreement that was actually truly cutting the spending that we actually say we can cut. Now remember, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, they're not touching it. These are the things that cost us the most money, not touching it. These are the things that if you look at the future will bankrupt us, not touching it. And we're supposed to say this is a great deal? Well, Paul Ryan says, you know, divided government, you can't always get what you want. We get a Rolling Stones song. Can't always get what you want. If we just had Republicans in charge, we'd do... Really? Remember when Bush was in the White House and the Republicans controlled the Senate and the House? Did you see a reduction in spending? Right. But hey, elect us and you will. Are you now more or less likely to want to really get out there and vote in the next election cycle to get more Republicans in the House and the Senate? Do you really think they'll cut spending if you do? David Stockman was on CNBC. David Stockman worked under Ronald Reagan. And David Stockman took a look at this budget deal. And in no uncertain terms, he came out and said, you got to be kidding me. Let's hear clip 12 from David Stockman.
Well, first, let's be clear. It's a joke and a betrayal. It's the final surrender of the House Republican leadership to beltway politics and to kicking the can and ignoring this budget monster that's hurtling down the road. They're busting the caps, and it's totally unnecessary. It's going to add $70 billion to spending this year and next year, and then they're going to pretend to save it in 22 and 23, way, way down the road. They've not only kicked the can down the road, they've kicked it into low Earth orbit.
He's nailing it. They busted the sequester caps that they had, that they had finally gotten agreements to. This was the stuff that was actually really starting to slow down the growth of government. Now, overall, it still grew because of the so-called entitlement stuff, but it was actually doing something. Nope. I mean, Stockman was nailing it. He's right on point. Do we have another cut from Stockman? Yeah, let's hear that one.
The House side. If we let the sequester happen and not bust it as they did, $580 billion of domestic discretionary spending, Bill Clinton left with $400 billion in today's dollars. He wasn't starving Head Start or the National Health Institute and all the rest. There's plenty of room, but they're unwilling to make the tough choices. Now, I understand Democrats doing that. The only hope of getting our fiscal situation under control is if the House Republicans stand up and they've totally capitulated. And I think it is going to trigger an enormous negative reaction from the Tea Party Republicans, who ought to go after every incumbent Republican who votes for this abomination.
What do you think? I think that will happen. I think there will be Tea Party people going after every incumbent who votes for this abomination. And he nailed it. You look at the numbers. You look at how much we've increased spending. And he said, do it in real dollars, in today's dollars. Clinton had $580 billion in domestic spending. I'm sorry, Clinton had $400 billion in today's dollars. They've got $580 billion with the sequester, and yet that's not enough in today's dollars. Adjusted for inflation. Same thing with the military, really. When you look at the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq that supposedly we're not fighting anymore, then we should be able to get by with what the sequester has in it. If you put the money in the right places and not take it away from the military men and women. What do you think? Love your thoughts on that one as well. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. Let me start with Brian in Vermont. Brian, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg Knapp. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you, sir.
I want to tell you something to you. This is just paper shuffling, what they're doing. But here I am. I'm a person who just lost his home in 2013. I work part-time. I don't take any state aid, and I don't take food stamps, and I can survive. The thing of it is, the economy is not based on what the government spends. It's based on what we have in our wallet. If they decrease taxes and get rid of corporate taxes altogether, there'd be jobs for everybody, and everybody would be working a lot faster and better. You're never going to get ahead as long as they're taking so much money out of our wallets.
Well, but Brian, you're forgetting the whole Keynesian plan that Obama loves. He says for every dollar that we give you in unemployment insurance, $1.80 goes back into the economy. And food stamps the same way. And when we put stimulus in, where we borrow money and throw it out into the system, well, we're expanding the... And I say, man, to that, then why stop here? We should just give everybody money and we'd be the richest country in the world. It makes no sense. You're absolutely right, Brian. The best things to do, and thanks for the call, is to work on, like you said, totally reforming our tax code, flat tax or national sales tax, reducing the corporate income tax. We have the second highest in the industrialized world, and all that does is pass it on to you and me, and it makes our companies here try and move overseas, and makes them not bring home overseas income that they've earned because they don't want to be taxed on it, and it makes it much harder for us to really create jobs here in America. You're dead on right. That's what's been going on. But all of that is anathema to President Obama because the dude believes in Keynesianism and he believes in socialism. I don't care. If you say that, they want to try and call you all kinds of names. All you got to do is read his own books. That's what this guy really believes. Chris in Michigan, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, Greg. You do a great job, and I hope that Mike's not pulling his hair out today after the decision we heard today. But
I'm sure he'll be talking about it big time to you soon.
Oh, I bet he's sick today. The president, his administration, 95% of the Senate, the House of Representatives, they're all chronic criminal liars. They refuse to abide by what the American people say. They lie about the amount of majority that they say support them, because the real majority says, stop this spending. but they refuse to. But yet at the same time, they're spending billions and billions on homeland security, armored vehicles, guns, bullets. You know, they're just chronic criminals. If it was corporations, they would all be in prison. Like,
thanks, Chris. I'll tell you, there is an awful lot of stuff that if you as a private entity did, you would go to jail. If you started Obamacare as a private entity and lied the way they did, you would be prosecuted. If you ran a Ponzi scheme retirement account like Social Security, you would be prosecuted and put in jail. If you did accounting on your liabilities the way that the federal government does on its liabilities in Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, you would be in prison. You're absolutely right. Now, here's the thing. The reason they keep doing this is because they're buying our votes. And there's enough people who still either don't really understand what's happening or really don't care to keep putting these people back in office. And whose fault is that? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage. I got a quick question for you. Would you want to live on Mars? Because you might just have that opportunity. We'll hit that, and I will get you that story about the Marine's body sent home without his heart. It's coming up on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. In for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board, 855-400-SAVAGE. I got to throw out these other two to you before I go back to you. Would you want to live on Mars? This is the Mars One Foundation. And they say now they have suppliers for an unmanned mission that they're going to launch, they hope, in 2018. Well, the first pioneers could land on Mars in 2025. And they were taking volunteers who would want to go on this trip. Now, it sounds awesome to go try and take off for Mars. Here's the catch. You can't come back. They don't have a way to launch from Mars to come back to Earth. So if you want to do this, the rest of your life is on Mars. Well, guess what? More than 200,000 people have signed up to be astronauts to go to Mars with the Mars One Foundation. And that fascinates me. And I was just talking to a couple people today. And they said, oh, yeah, I'd do it. One guy told me, I don't want to live on this planet anymore. Well, what? Well, you know, the way that the world's going. Our country and other country, it's getting crazy. I'm ready to try a new planet. I think the other guy said, well, you know, I think it would be kind of cool to live the rest of my life colonizing a planet. And I say, yeah, okay, I can see all that. But here's my point. At some point, maybe 20, 30 years from now, I'm going to say, you know what I'd really like to do? I'd really like to do a little surfing, then maybe drink a beer on the beach, then maybe go down and get a nice, thick, juicy steak and some lobster. That'd be a great night, wouldn't it? And then make love to my wife. Maybe on the beach. Oh, man, that'd just be a great night, wouldn't it? Ah, you can't do that, man. You're in Mars. What are you going to do? I'd really love to go to a football game tonight. Would you go to Mars? Would you go to Mars knowing you could never come back? Meanwhile, the parents of Marine Sergeant, listen to this story. Imagine that your son becomes a Marine. He does a couple tours of duty in Afghanistan. And then he gets this great gig. He works at the embassy in Greece. But then you get a note. You get a call. Your son, your Marine, who has gone through tours in war zones, has killed himself. Just imagine the grief you have. I can't. I have two daughters, and I cannot imagine what that would be like if I got that call. But especially if your son has made it through war, and now he kills himself. So while you're grieving over that, and your son's body is returned to you, as you're talking to the military man while you're filling out the paperwork to receive your son's body, he lets it slip that your son came back without his heart. What? Yeah, sent home with that. Sorry, something happened, man. We lost his heart. That's crazy, isn't it? And then they later say, well, here's his heart, and you find out
Oh, whoops, sorry, wrong heart. They don't even know what his heart is. The Greek doctors evidently did an autopsy on it and took the heart for toxicology tests, which doctors say is very unusual, and they don't really know why it happened. Oh, and by the way, your son had asked for help, and the response was maybe he should just go drink more and have fun at the party, and he ended up killing himself. Thank you for your son's service, by the way, though. What? Man, crazy. All right, I want to take some of your calls. We had been talking about this victimology in America, the six-year-old who was told that he was suspended for sexual harassment for kissing a little girl. There was the 16-year-old who killed four people, and they're saying it's not his fault. He's a victim of affluenza. Let me get Trish in Reno on it all. Trish, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks, Greg. I just wanted to say that as a victim of a not-so-great upbringing, I don't feel that that's an excuse for me to be able to go out and kill people on, quote-unquote, accident because I had a bad upbringing. That makes no sense. He has no prison time at all?
No, none at all. He's getting probation and treatment. Well, Trish, I'm so proud of you for realizing victimhood is not the answer, and you've got to take responsibility for what you do. Your past cannot be your excuse. And thanks, Trish. And I know there are a lot of good people who do that. Hey, listen, I've had a ball. It's been a great time, and I always appreciate getting the chance to fill in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. I'm gonna live it up.